Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome today's program, Cindy Brandt, who's VP Fleet Solutions at Descartes. And today we're going to talk about how AI is unlocking hidden capacity in delivering fleets. So if you operate a delivery fleet, the question's always the same. How do you deliver orders on time, undamaged, and at the lowest possible cost with the fewest vehicles, miles driven, and drivers? And it's a complex optimization plot problem with a lot of moving parts, which is why most leading fleet operators rely on route planning and optimization solutions. But as the operating environment continues to get more challenging, technology is also getting, smarter. And advances in AI and machine learning are enabling companies to better understand the gap between what was planned and what actually happens, out in the field, which is unlocking hidden capacity in the process. So what does that look like in practice? Well, to answer that question and more, it's great to have Cindy on the program. So Cindy, welcome back to Talk Logistics.
Adrian, it's so much fun to be here. It's like sitting down and having a great conversation with an old friend.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of old friend, I just realized, and I actually posted this on LinkedIn a couple of weeks ago, actually on St. Patrick's Day, I celebrated my 27th year as an industry analyst. And
Wow.
I think you and I have known each other for a good chunk of that, 27 years. You've been in this whole area of route optimization and planning and transportation, for a long time, as have I, kind of
Yep.
researching it. And certainly, there's some things that haven't changed. Like I said in my opening remarks there, right? The objectives are still kind of the same, but
Yes.
certainly the operating environment is different, and kind of the technology that we have today, that fleet operators have today, it's certainly very different
Sure
and
is.
more powerful to address these challenges. So maybe as a way to to get started, I mean, I kind of alluded to this already. Delivery fleets are really under pressure to deliver more orders, faster, while at the same time, managing costs. Obviously now we've got situations with gas rising diesel prices and gasoline prices, right? Driver shortages. So all sorts of, challenges that they have. So from your perspective, I mean, what are the biggest operational challenges that fleets are facing today?
Like you said, fleets are really facing this huge combination of rising operating costs. The navigation is really murky right now. Things are changing on a day-to-day basis, but you hit the highlights there, right? Driver shortages. We still have a CDL shortage. We still don't have people choosing CDL careers as a first career instead of a second or third. Fuel volatility is off the charts the last month, right? And combine that with just unprecedented delivery expectations, which accelerated during COVID from that B2C or business to consumer movement. All these companies are asked to be, can you move volume faster while fuel, insurance, maintenance, and equipment kit costs just absolutely continue to climb? And then attracting and retaining drivers, right? It's a huge constraint. Everyone thinks there's another job out there that's going to be just a little bit better, a little bit easier. And then we have companies, because of all these tight margins now, they're putting lots of pressure on operations to do more with just fewer resources across the board, physical and human, right? And then a lot of these companies too, they've got locked capacity and they can't figure out how to access, that capacity. And to feed off that just a little bit more, if you don't mind, I mean, I think that they can't unlock that capacity because fleets really struggle a lot with fragmented data. We still use a lot of disconnected systems in transportation. So it makes it really difficult to not only optimize your routes, monitor the execution, monitor safety and risk, which is becoming even more important in there, and then make sure that you don't have a lot of downtime there as well. It's just really tough to find new ways to improve efficiency that doesn't compromise, your core company values around, both profitability for shareholders as well as, most importantly, probably safety for the workers there as well.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think you hit up, you touched upon a lot of different things there. And certainly when you look at something like the driver, you talked about driver, hiring new drivers or finding new drivers, right? Which is not a career that many people, aspire to or go into, but it's also kind of retaining those drivers, right? So once you got them, you want to make sure you keep them. So driver satisfaction is a key aspect of this, right? So, operationally, you want to make sure that you're providing them with a work environment that is conducive to, job satisfaction. It's not driving them crazy all the time,
Exactly.
and so forth. Insurance, that's another, big aspect, that we could probably spend the whole episode talking about what's happening on that
Absolutely.
front. Fuel, like I said, obviously with what's going on in the Middle East, that's another, that's always a top of mind consideration, but now it's back, in the front burner again. And of course, us as consumers, right? We're expecting more, not only faster, but also more reliable or time definite, deliveries. I still can't tell you how many times in this day and age, even though some of this technology has existed for a while, how many fleet operators are still giving me, 6 hour or 8 hour, time windows, which basically means I got to stay stuck in my house, waiting for something to arrive. So,
Very efficient for them, very inefficient for you.
exactly. And it's trying to find that right balance, right?
Right.
Because that's important. So, I mean, obviously Descartes's been in this industry for a long time, one of the pioneers in the industry. Leading solutions in general, have been using machine learning to kind of analyze that gap between, like I talked said earlier, that gap between what was planned and what actually, happens in execution out in the field. So how does this, approach kind of leveraging, machine learning, AI, improve service time predictions and overall route planning accuracy?
Sure. Well, I think the one thing I want to give this industry kudos for first is the fact that a lot of us have been using machine learning for a very, very long time, and it's really now kind of coming into the next generation of machine learning. We've been doing it since the late 90s, right? And it's really, transportation really sometimes is very cutting edge and people don't realize it. So I want to, make sure we talk about that. But, the big thing with using machine learning and especially applying it to what's happening in the field is that today, so many companies still rely on incredibly rough estimates for what's going to happen throughout the day. How long does it take to deliver to a certain type of bar or a certain type of restaurant? And when I get to those assumptions, I get a lot of little inaccuracies that start to add up over time, right? It's like compounding interest, right? I mean, it's great over time. But when you start having that compound over time over your total range of your fleet size, it's a massive problem. And it just creates, completely inefficient routes. So at Descartes, we're now using machine learning to predict very accurate service times based on real-world data, but also multiple inputs, right? You can't just say arrival and departure time anymore. You've got to look at some other things there as well. Even companies that use legacy routing software, applications today, a lot of them are still just using that static estimate, right? It takes 10 minutes. Regardless of what the reality is, I always use the example of when I lived in downtown Baltimore and you did deliver to historic bars in Federal Hill. You didn't walk through the front door of the bar, you opened up hurricane doors and took cases down a rickety ladder. It takes a lot more time than opening up the front door of a restaurant chain and just walking through there. But in the real world, every single stop, like I said, it is different because of the location, the delivery type, the time of day, even the product that's being delivered, and then that mix changes every single day as well. And what happens is that plan that looks perfect on paper completely falls apart in execution because the modeling was bad. So we're going to take machine learning to predict how long each one of these individual stops is going to actually take before it even happens. How do we do that? We're saying let's take an execution first attack or approach. We're going to go gather all that execution information and truly understand where's your customer located, how long does it take to service them, and looking over time, like what's the real time window, right? Should it be 6 hours or 2 hours or even, 30 minutes? But this is going to end up creating a hyper realistic route plan, create data-driven expectation set for drivers as well as managers. And if you can get to this level of accuracy, what it really truly means for the company, I think this is the important part, it's more on-time deliveries, greater route density, better ETA information because visibility is everything right now, right? Less stress for the drivers. They're not trying to catch up. They're not trying to, oh, I got to slow down and make my 8 hours. I want anyone to know I'm going too fast. But ultimately lower operating costs, which is what we're all trying to do, right? I always say this is an improvement that customers don't necessarily see it, but boy, do they feel it.
Right. Now, so yeah, I mean, historically, I've seen that same problem where, kind of, companies set, their constraints, set their service windows, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then, that might be okay for day one, right? But a week in, 2 weeks in, 2 months out, 3 months out, the operating environment has completely changed and they don't go back, right? There's no feedback mechanism to go back and make those adjustments, and that's where then everything, gets disrupted. Now, in terms of that execution data that you talked about, I mean, obviously, with the real-time tracking, GPS data, so for that, the time that's spent to go from point A to point B, a lot of that's being captured through, some of that. What about the on, once they get there, like you said, when they arrive, how long it takes them to unload the truck or make the delivery. Is that all being done now and captured through like mobile devices, mobile applications? How is that kind of
Yeah, no,
cap how is that data captured to feed back into the machine so the machine continues to learn what's actually happening?
that's a great question. So there's so many modalities now, right? We've got, driver and vehicle behavior telematics that's constantly, giving you GPS pings. In some of the larger vehicles that have ELD requirements, they've got ELDs that are capturing that GPS information. And then, of course, with our mobile devices, I mean, GPS chips have gotten better, not worse over time, so we can get more granular information. The secret sauce, though, is really in the algorithms behind the scenes that can look at how to parse out those GPS points to understand what kind of is what we would traditionally call fixed time, parking the truck, and what we would consider, a variable time or a per case, type of calculation. Now, we're going to look at that information, but then if you've got other information or data sources that we can pull in, we're going to look at that as well. And that's really where this multivariate, diagnosis of service time becomes really incredibly interesting. And there's so many neat industries where you look at some of the nuances, even like in building supply. It's this really exciting stuff that we're starting to build right now. And it is a bit of the secret sauce, so I'm not going to give you the whole recipe.
Of course not. But one of the I think benefits of working, being in this industry for a long time and working with a variety of different companies and industries, you do a lot of research as well. And not only in this field but in global trade and everything else. And some of the research you've done has shown that improving service time predictions can increase route density by, up to 30%. I mean, what does that actually look like in practice for a fleet?
Well, let's just get down to the most important point, number one, right? This means that you can simply serve more customers and more stops without ever expanding your fleet or increasing your driver hours, right? So we're looking for those inefficiencies that are built in, like we talked about with service time. It's growth with no extra drivers, no extra vehicles. And I think everybody right now is looking for that growth or hidden capacity, right? Second, let's talk about higher fleet utilization. If drivers have less idle time between stops, they're no longer returning early to the depot and not punching out or, heaven forbid, hiding around the corner at the coffee shop. It really quickly looks at driver productivity, improves it, and then reduces all those extra unnecessary miles. Overtime, a little bit of overtime every day across every driver is very expensive. And of course, fuel consumption, which, besides labor, is rapidly becoming one of the most expensive components of transportation right now. The last piece of it is that lower cost per delivery. That is the ultimate that we're always trying to drive to. How do I move that cost of delivery by $1, $2, $10, $20, right? So when we increase that route density and we get more deliveries per route in a safe manner, I want to make sure that I say that there, costs across labor, insurance, and maintenance get spread. Across more stops, which then results in that lower cost per delivery. So for us, we want to help companies grow without them having to invest in a lot of additional resources and unlock capacity. And again, it's because we just don't know what we don't know because we haven't spent enough time with execution data, period.
Yeah, no, I think I 100%. Yeah, I kind of as you were saying that, reducing delivery costs. I mean, isn't delivery free, Cindy? Isn't it? You know,
It
it
depends.
depends. You know, and
Yeah.
obviously, there's been a lot of talk around that. You know, for a decade or more, right? In terms of, and actually, there was a Wall Street Journal article, I think a week or two ago, that talked about, you know, the balance between free delivery with retailers versus, you know, consumer expectations of, you know, whether they're willing to wait a little longer for either free delivery or lower cost delivery. But again, I think that plays into the strategies that companies have, right? Because if they're able to reduce that cost of delivery, that gives them some flexibility in terms of, you know, passing on some of the cost savings if they wish to customers, or improving their profit margin, whichever way they, they want to go. So I think it's, you know, across the board, it's, you know, whether it's improving the route density, you know, the number of stops per route and so forth, or reducing the cost side of the equation while doing it safely, as you said, I think it's, there's so many levers and opportunities for benefits here that, you know, fleets can look at. I mean, we touched upon a few things already, obviously, you know, increasing the number of stops per route. I mean, are there any other operational and business benefits that fleets can achieve with more accurate and reliable routing plans?
You know, I think what we're really trying to drive to is more predictability, right? Everybody likes things that are comfortable. And, you know, we talked a little bit about driver retention. Predictability is one of those things that contributes to driver retention greatly. I want to know how long is my route going to be? How long is it planned for? How long is it actually going to take? These become important things. You know, company drivers leave companies because of all this unpredictability. They are planning on an 8-hour route. It's 10 hours, and I miss Jimmy's baseball game, football game, whatever it might be. Consistency and predictability. You know, we are in transportation by trade. I sometimes think firefighters, right? There's a lot of things that can go wrong during the day through a delivery, especially dispatchers. They're really the true heroes here that do a lot of, you know, the daily manipulation for customers, or they recognize that a route is running behind and really have to do something in order to communicate that there's a change. If we can really use historical information, I mean, a lot of it over time, obviously, we are never going to be able to account for, you know, a hole knocking an inspector down 20 feet, which just happened 2 days ago in Lewis, Delaware. Building a road and it backed up traffic for about 4 hours. We can't predict for something like that, but we can predict to create a much more reliable route and reliable ETAs and then reliable time for drivers. You know, there's nothing worse than you plan to receive at 3 p.m. because then I've got people ready at the mic, you know, to receive this truck, count the product in, and then it shows up at 1, and I have a floor, you know, full of customers or whatever it might be. You know, if we can eliminate a lot of these little teeny inefficiencies that exist, we can really cut out the hidden costs related to overtime, missed deliveries, and redispatching, right? Accuracy doesn't just improve efficiency, it takes chaos away from the complete process.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier, which is so true, because you might think, okay, well, you know, a minute here, a minute there, not a big deal. You know, 30 cents here, 30 cents there, it's not a big deal, right? But like you said before, when you're talking about particularly the larger your fleet, and this compounds across routes day after day after day, if you're really tracking it, you realize that, you know, you're leaking a lot of business benefits, all right? And to your point, I mean, there's companies might be surprised by their ability to potentially add two, three, four more stops to a route, or be able to you know, service additional customers, et cetera, with the same resources that they already have right now. So to be able to,
Absolutely.
you know, drive that growth, right, without having to add vehicles, drivers, and everything that goes, you know, along with that. And, you know, I think if I was to sum it up, is that, you know, at the heart of that really is, as we've said throughout the conversation, is really taking that execution data, those execution insights, and bringing it back into the system so that you kind of close that gap between what was planned and what actually happens, so that the more you can reduce that gap where what was planned is very close to what was actually happened, you know, that's where you unlock those savings. Of course, you can't, you're probably never going to get to 100% because things like,
No.
you know, a hole opening up somewhere, you know, or some horrible accident, God forbid, happening or whatever, you know, those things are going to happen. But I think the closer you can get to minimizing the daylight between what was planned and what actually happens, I think it's the amount of business benefits
Sure.
are there for the taking. So you know, Cindy, we could probably spend another hour talking about each of these, you know, different topics, but maybe as a way to wrap up, I mean, as you look ahead, I mean, how do you see AI and data-driven insights continue to reshape, you know, fleet planning and execution over the next few years?
I think we're just at the tip of the spear here with this, right? It's an exciting time to be looking at what's happening. Again, I alluded earlier, it's exciting that we've actually been using artificial intelligence for, many, many years within transportation. But, insights in AI is going to fundamentally reshape fleet management, I believe, in four different key ways. First, I think we're going to see a real shift towards automation, right? AI agents are going to start to really take over kind of routine operational tasks, simple things, right? Like tracking updates, driver follow-ups, exception handling that we can define really well. And this way, we're going to let our teams really focus on higher value and more strategic decisions that are really around producing more revenue or reducing costs, right? Let's let the humans do what the humans do best. Let's let the agents take away the valuable but less valuable human time things, if that makes sense, right? I don't
Right.
want to replace people. Second, data is finally becoming much more actionable. I always go back to this piece on we've always had execution data. We've always looked at actual versus planned, and we kind of used it for reporting and driver management. But now, we're not just reporting on what actually happened. We're going to use AI to really assess this real-time execution data to predict issues, both what could happen and what is happening. Immediately, recommend corrective actions before the problems escalate. And think about all the different data sets that now we can start to bring together. We've always had disparate telematics, disparate routing, and disparate safety. Now we can start to bring risk into this too. What if you assigned a driver to a route that was inherently risky because of the path they had to travel, and you have a new driver that's going to be more risky versus a seasoned driver that's less? Being able to look at something really interesting like that, and that's a crazy idea that I always have in my head that I think about. The third thing is that the workforce itself is going to evolve with digital coworkers, right? We're starting to build again a lot of AI agents that don't replace people but work beside them to handle execution at scale, right? We want the agents to deal with the least complex exception issues, but escalate the very complex issues or even ambiguous situations that are out there, right? We got to get those to people. And then this just really creates a really, efficient human AI collaboration model. Like, that's what I really see. And then finally, everything in the models is going to become outcome driven. Again, we've always focused so much on the plan, the plan, the plan. Yesterday, we create the plan yesterday for today, right? And then today, we just watch the execution. We're going to start to think, well, where do we really want to get to? Like, at the end of the day, is it that I really want to have, centralized routing? Do I want to have more trucks on the road, less trucks on the road? Do I want different service time types for different types of people? Do I want to service different sets of customers differently? This advantage really comes when we combine AI with all this really deep and rich operational data that exists today to create smarter, much, much more scalable operations, moving beyond traditional software tools into what I call a more intelligent type system. So at the end of the day, we can still continue to improve on, performance, efficiency, and service levels. Legacy software can't do that anymore. We need this next level of artificial intelligence layers to be able to grab that extra 5, 10, 15, 25% in efficiency.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, to go back to something you said earlier, which I agree with 100%, this whole area of technology was, I don't want to say ahead of the curve, because I think it was part of the curve.
Sure.
Machine learning, all the stuff was really embedded within routing and planning and optimization solutions, for 20 plus years.
Exactly.
It just wasn't very exciting to talk about, because the only people who really cared were those that, either developed the code or were really down deep in the weeds of how these solutions actually work. But now, of course, the spotlight's on everything AI and machine learning. It makes sense to kind of say, hey, we've been doing this all along. But I think what that tells me is that everything you just talked about the future, this whole area is going to continue to lead the way in terms of how AI machine learning is applied to
Yes.
solve supply chain logistics, problems. Because everyone in this field is already very experienced, because they've already been doing it for 20 plus years. So folks like can already see and already are working on kind of how to continue to expand the use and capabilities of these technologies. But Cindy, like I always say, we always manage to scratch the surface, but you provided some great insights and some great food for thought. So thank you again for being my guest today on Talking Logistics.
Well, thank you for having us. And like I said, it's great to have a conversation with a good friend.
Great. Likewise, if you're watching this episode on demand, either at the Descartes website or on Talking Logistics, and you've got a question or comment for Cindy, you can post it there, and I'm sure she'll be more than happy to respond via that medium. Again, thank you for watching. Look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.